Wearing a t-shirt appropriate for the day. I'm not going to be coy today. We all know what day it is. And as a very special treat, our roving reporter, Michael Goudeau, juggler for the Lance Burton Show, my co-host here, went and did a real remote, like a reporter. You went to, you went and interviewed a monkey.
Is that right? A reporter.
He interviewed a monkey for the poker thing. And we got a whole, he went out with a tape, and he actually had this digital recorder. It was mine, but he had it in his hand, and he went there and drove there. Did you have press credentials?
I had no press credentials. They weren't checking.
Anyway, we sent my good, we're going to get to that. That'll be a big part of the Monkey Tuesday today. So if you got a monkey story, 866-570-PEN, that's 7366, 866-570-PEN, 7366, penradio@gmail.com, penradio.com. A lot of you should call up. Now, when you have a monkey story, for those of you just joining us, the monkey story should not contain the flinging of dung, because we've covered it. We've done a lot of it. And also, the FCC is not comfortable with it. And also should not... A monkey pleasuring themselves by, like, you know, rooting out their nose with a cucumber or something would be fine, if that's pleasurable. There's a lot of ways you can pleasure oneself. But in the term that pleasure oneself would lead to, things that our dear friends and bosses at the FCC wouldn't be thrilled with. Be aware of that. But we have found there are many, many monkey stories that don't contain those. All monkey stories do contain those two things. But there are some monkey stories that contain other stuff in addition to that.
Lesser amounts.
And we've had a very good luck. I mean, Monkey Tuesday will go away. Will go away once we run out of stories. But so far, the listeners, however many there are, seem to just have a... It seems to be a cornucopia. It seems to be just overflowing. Constant monkey stories. But before we get to those, while we're waiting for the phone calls to come in and for Happy Jack to screen them and for Goudeau to look through the Gmails, I want to say welcome to Chicago.
I don't mean
that we're coming into Chicago. I mean, welcome to Chicago. That is to say, we are now back on live in Chicago. We've been on all this time, but after the show over at the Rio, man, every guy who looked like Steve Dahl, you know, there's a lot of guys that look like Steve Dahl, they would come up and say, hey, why the hell aren't you live in Chicago anymore? Well, now we are. All your complaints were heard. CBS does listen. The free FM is paying attention to you. And they did move us on live. So we're now back live in Chicago. And I'm trying not to think too much about that so there's not too much pressure. Because I like Chicago and I like Steve Dahl. I think we're on right before Steve Dahl again, right? Which is where I belong, where I feel comfortable, you know? I kind of get things all jumbled up and then Steve Dahl comes in with his clear thinking and just straightens everything out. See? I feel very comfortable with Steve behind me. I know that you, all the guys in the control booth, are very homophobic and everything. I feel comfortable with Steve behind me. I have no problem with that whatsoever. I want to talk a lot about poker, because we did the opening festivities on day 1C. There are so many goddamned people playing poker here. It's like 10,000 or something, okay, playing poker. At, you know, 10,000, isn't it like 8,000 or something?
Yeah, it's huge.
It's huge. And so they can't fit them all in the Rio. So they have, they had four day ones. So there was a day one, day one, day one, day one. And then from those day ones, they all, the ones that win go into day two. And, we got to go up there and stand on the little, and you know, I'm there to go, you know, ladies and gentlemen, here they are. They're playing at the Rio. They've been on Showtime. You've seen them. Did the movie The Aristocrats. Here they are. They've been together for 30 years. Crazy start. Here they are. Penn and Teller, right? And no one in the room. These people have paid $10,000 to sit at a table where they could win $11 million. That's not the amount of money. There's change after that. But $11 million is fine around. $11 million they could win, okay? And a couple of schmucks get up there, and they're going, hi, we're Penn and Teller. You know, like we care. Just say the goddamn sentence. But they were very polite to us and very kind. It's very crowded and a lot of pressure. And I said, shuffle up! And deal! And then the whole thing goes, and I go and ran away. Shovel up and deal. Shuffle up and deal.
Okay.
And there was a celebrity tournament a few days before that I was playing, which, you know, celebrity is included Ron Jeremy. Ron Jeremy. A person who had won before he even walked into the room. I mean, if you're talking about the American dream, you have John... Ron Jeremy, an unattractive man who gets to have sex for money. I mean, is there a better American dream than that? I don't think so. I don't think there's a better. So he had already won. He won before he walked in. And I went there, and I had this beautiful moment, this fabulous moment. I was playing pretty well. I'd been bumped up to a few more tables, had a lot of chips in front of me. I got to go to the table with Robin Tunney, who's in like a show called Prison Break or something, but she had her shirt unbuttoned all the way, so it was very hip. And so I'm playing poker, and this perfect thing happens, this perfect moment. You tell me if this is this or is this not a perfect moment. Some TV camera comes over. I don't know what it was. I don't think it was real TV. It was like AOL or something.
Yeah, it was AOL.
And they come over, and they had the camera. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm playing quietly, but all of a sudden, you know, Mr. Attention Whore has to stand up and do shtickler, right? So they're still dealing, it's still playing. I'm going like, oh, yeah, play it here. I had to do my jokes, you know, because I go like, it's a charity function, right? So I do my standard joke, and everybody, well, you know, I'm really not trying too hard to win because my charity is the KKK. So I'm going to go all in on 2-7, on, you know, do that kind of shtickler. And just doing my job. That's my job. You know, the camera comes around, I have to do shtickler. And incidentally, before that, James Garner introduced himself to me, but that's not important. And I'm sitting there doing this, and they start dealing around. So they come to me, and the AOL guy grabs one of my cards and looks at it, and I grab the other one, shows it to the camera, and he sees a queen, and also I see a queen. Then we change cards, and we both still see queens. So I've got a pair of queens, which at this point, in the being chip leader and stuff, and where I'm sitting position to the table, is a very, very good thing. So I'm thinking, because I'm a smart guy, right? I'm thinking, I'm a smart guy. Well, here's what I'm going to do. So I make a minimum bet limping in, and I say to the TV camera, I'm just going to bet to keep me in the action so you get some good stuff. And the guy behind the camera just doesn't do any reaction, but I act like he does, and I go, what do you mean? Okay, for the TV camera, I'm all in. I'm all in. For the TV camera, I'm all in. I would have gone all in with two queens anyway, but this was my smart idea. They're going to think I'm going all in, right? So they're going around the table. They're all deciding, I got a pair of queens. I'm going to win easy, no problem. I mean, not that I couldn't be beaten, but it's still good. It's a nice hand. So I'm gonna, and I figure everybody's going to go, this attention whore, this absolute attention whore is going to go all in. He's going to go all in just because the camera's on him. That's the kind of loser he is, right?
Pirandello.
Yeah, exactly. Going to go all in. And then the producer, who I now hate, says, oh, it's so lucky you got that hand. This is so great. We'll really have great TV. And the guy looked, and I don't know whether it was the producer saying that or whether it was the guy looking at me and going, that's the way he looks and he's been on TV. He must be lucky. No one came in after me. And then later it was close to time for the show, so I had to keep dumping chips to get out of there. And the big cheese, I won't say his name because they don't like to be public, but the big cheese at Harris is at another table, and he goes, we can push the show back. Go ahead. Keep playing. Just win. And I go, I know, I've come out of the hospital to do shows. I am not going to stop a show, push back a show because I'm playing poker. So I start going all in on everything. I start looking at my watch and going all in. And then I win a few times, which means no one trusts me. And finally, I go all in on a 2-6 unsuited and beg someone to call me. And they barely beat me. They beat me with like a king high after that. But then all my chips were gone. I got to go do the show. So that's my poker story. But if you're listening, AOL producer guy, I'm gunning for you. Why? You know, you could just say,
hand.
I can't believe he's doing this for our TV show. That would have been good.
That's right. 2-7 all in? Why couldn't he shout that?
What a great guy.
Oh, well.
But that's okay. Or saying just you're doing a lot for the team, a lot for the team. But as you all know, this all happened over the weekend in the past. And wait, but Jack just held up a sign saying go to Monkeys. Didn't you say that? You know, I was like, and yes, it is Monkey Tuesday. And yes, I am going to go to Monkeys. We are going to talk Monkeys. But I mean, do you really want me to go by Mel Gibson without saying a thing? Okay, Mel Gibson's a monkey. He certainly is. I want to talk a little bit, kind of seriously, and you can call in with your monkey story, or you can call in on the Mel Gibson thing. I don't care that he's drunk. I don't care of any of that stuff. How come we don't care about heroes anymore? I mean, how come people that are in the news are not supposed to be better than us? You know, there were people that were president, there were people that were stars, who I wasn't fit to lick their shoes, you know? And now it seems like the people are no better than me who are heroes. And I don't like that. And Lenny Bruce started this. And I was all for Lenny Bruce. When John F. Kennedy was shot and you saw Jackie Kennedy and the news people said she was going to help her president, but she was actually running away, Lenny Bruce did a wonderful monologue monologue, one of his most famous that I just adored, that said, she's hauling ass to save ass. She's no better than us. She's a regular person. You shouldn't make people feel like they have to be heroes. And I agreed with that completely. Now the pendulum has swung the other way. Now Mel Gibson is going to say, I'm fighting a battle with alcoholism. I had this slip. I'm just like you. I'm no better than you. And you're going to have people that are going, you know, I'm kind of like that too. I got really a little drunk one day and made a really racist comment to an African-American man that works in the garage. And that's okay because I'm just like Mel Gibson. Yes, you are just like Mel Gibson, and therefore you should die. You are a pig. You are a monkey pig. He's not just saying that stuff because it pops into his head. It's not. If he was saying stuff he didn't mean, he would have said, oh, bowling balls fall out of trees, kill roosters. That's something you don't mean. That means nothing. Saying anti-Semitic stuff is stuff that you mean unless you're kidding. And he was not kidding. I know, you know, Gilbert Gottfried and I, Lisa Lampanelli and I, we all make jokes about being Jewish. This is not a joke. This is an anti-Semitic freakball who is stating exactly what he believes. He said it two ways now. He said it sober in The Passion of the Christ, and he said it drunk in a police station. Either one you believe, please, for the love of Christ, would you start judging Mel Gibson. Jack says this is ridiculous because everybody is going, he's going to just fall. And I love that he was doing a show on the Holocaust for CBS.
I'm sorry we're not going to see that now.
I know. That would have
been really interesting.
That would have been just wonderful.
You know what's amazing is in the past you've said, you know, Mel Gibson is anti-Semitic. And we have gotten nasty letters from people going, where do you get that? What are you crazy? I think those people ought to apologize to you.
Yes, I think
we're accepting
have a
flowers
conference
at this point for anyone who has actually yeah sent hate mail saying that. You were wrong.
I don't think that The Passion of the Christ proves he's anti-Semitic at all. I just had that feeling in my heart. But I think that this, I mean, I've never been drunk in my life, nor have you, right?
Never.
But I want to see if people have called up. Call up if you also with the Monkey Tuesday stuff. You can also call up and just give me the 411. I've never been drunk. When you're drunk, and Jack, you've been drunk, haven't you? Have you ever said anything drunk that not that you should not have said, that you should not have said, but at some level you did not believe, totally random fantasy? Right, off the top of your head, but not something contrary. Patrick, you're shaking your head. You say, what have you said drunk that you do not believe? I never, besides the little dwarf being attractive, what else have you said off the top of your head when you were faced that you did not believe? It was basically not in your heart. Tell me. Okay, Jack's still about you. Talking about you, Patrick. You've been drunk, right? Okay, what have you said drunk that was not true, that you did not believe in some way? Okay, that you're so horny, you'd have sex with a tree. Okay, but that is true. That is certainly true, and I have trees right outside of the driveway that prove that. And I have video all over this house. You don't know that. But no, that is a joke. That is a joke. And certainly making anti-Semitic jokes, making racist jokes is absolutely groovy, as long as someone knows what's in your heart. He was not kidding. He was telling the truth, what he thought. And I want to see if there's someone drunk that wants to call up drunk if you want, and say something you don't believe. No, I just mean, if you're drunk and say something, not something you shouldn't say, not something too honest, but there's some sort of proverb about that, isn't there? That the drunken man speaks the heart or something. There's some proverb like that. We get a lot of stuff you can call up about. You can call up about that proverb that I can't think of now. And you can also call up to tell me, because I don't know, and maybe I'm dead wrong, and I will be the first on this show to apologize right out to Mel Gibson and say that I was wrong. But have you ever said anything contrary to what you believe? Let's take Dave.
Okay. Hey, Dave. How are you?
How you doing, Dave?
Hey, Penn. Hey, Mike.
How you doing?
There are plenty of guys who have said, I love you, and let's get married when they were drunk.
But what I'm saying is, was that contrary to their actual belief? Do you see a difference between that and Mel Gibson?
Do I see a difference? No. Well, actually, yeah, I do, because yeah, the next morning, I think Mel Gibson was still anti-Semitic, but these guys weren't in love.
That's what I mean. I think that they are reporting on an emotional state inside of them when they say, I love you. I mean, that's the positive way to spin it. We all know the truth of it, is they're just lying.
This is true.
And I'm saying that people do lie when they're drunk, but what would be Mel Gibson's motive for lying about being anti-Semitic when drunk?
No, he'd be lying about lying about how he was drunk. That's his only motive.
But, you know, I love you is, and there's also, I love you is very often a lie, but my favorite lie, which is always a lie, is that's interesting. No one has ever said that's interesting and not been lying.
That's interesting.
Thank you, Dave. Thanks so much, Dave.
I love Dave.
Let's talk to Laura.
Sure.
Hi, Penn.
Hello, Laura. How are you?
Good. We were on vacation. It's a bunch of couples. We rent a house in Virginia Beach every summer and usually get everyone gets loaded except for me, but one night I happened to get pretty drunk, and one of my husband's friends who's married, I told him that he was gay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember even saying it. I do not believe he's gay. He's married. He's completely straight.
Okay, but were you saying that as a joke or very serious?
No, I mean I guess they said I was serious. I don't remember, but
so you're defending Mel Gibson on this. You think you could make anti-Semitic comments that you didn't feel because you were faced, right?
No. I don't. Never.
Was it that you were just wishful thinking? Did you want him to be gay? Did you want to watch some hot man-on-man action there in your Virginia Beach love shack?
No, I think I'd want to see women over men. If I was drunk, I don't think I'd want to see men.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Well, that just you've told us an awful lot about yourself, Laura. And now what's happening
drunk.
Is there's an awful lot of people who are trying to get an invitation to your Virginia Beach house. Just so you know, when you want to send the invitation, it's pennradio@gmail.com.
I'll remember that, Penn.
Thank you so much, Laura. Thank you. Let's talk to Will. What's up, Will?
Hey, Ben, how's it going?
Never better, boss. How are you?
Well, I wanted to tell you, I think you're right about the whole thing about Mel Gibson being drunk, because the main thing I've noticed, I don't drink to get drunk anymore. I had bad experiences with that, but The main thing I noticed it does is it inhibits your self-control.
Yeah, now, it's supposed to, yeah.
Right, and the point is normally Mel Gibson would be smart enough not to say these things when he's sober. You know, he wouldn't say, you know, I'm not going to get into it, but he wouldn't
say anything. I think you wanted the word barely in front of that. Mel Gibson is barely smart enough to not say those things when he's sober.
Yeah. Like, in my experience, I'm smart enough to do things like not touch people who don't want to be touched or not say certain things, but the more you drink, the more you're likely to say those things. And I think that's really just proof that he really does believe those things, because generally, even when you're drunk, you're not going to say things you don't believe in a serious tone.
Yeah, that's what I know about it, but I know next to nothing about it. So thanks a lot for a little bit of expert opinion from a drunk. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks.
I want to take this one really quickly. Let's just talk to Brent really quickly before the break. What's up, Brent?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing very well, thanks.
When I was in high school, I used to work at this kitchen. This guy that I worked with, old black, you know, Vietnam, you know, a veteran, retired guy, you know, worked as a cook. And he used to have all these great little, like, you know, sayings, you know, but one of my favorites, you know, drunk mouth speaks the sober mind.
Mouth speaks the sober mind. Yeah, that's what I was trying to think of, yeah.
Exactly. And it's absolutely true, because the way I've always perceived why it is that, like, and the same thing, you do stupid things when you're drunk, it's you have an impulse to speed or you have an impulse to say something and you second guess yourself. It's like, no, that's a bad idea. No, that's a bad idea. It gets removed when you're hammered.
Yeah. Okay, so, Brett. Thanks so much. I'm cutting you off a little bit early because we got to go to a break. I just think that all I'm saying is, yes, it's okay for heroes to be human, but shouldn't we have a few heroes? Shouldn't we have a few like guys we could like look up to who wouldn't say stuff like that and wouldn't be always battling alcoholism? We're going to be back with a lot of Monkey Tuesday. 866-570-PEN, 7366, PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. Call with your monkey stories. This is Penn Jillette. We're back on the big radio show, Free FM, with Michael Gudo. Welcome to Chicago. I'm so happy. I talked to Tony the other day on the phone, Tony Fitzpatrick, who, as far as he's concerned, owns Chicago.
The king of Chicago.
He was talking about coming out here. I got to get to Chicago. You know, Tony has not met my kids. He's not met my wife in Chicago. My kids have not seen Chicago. So I got to get there someday. One of these days, maybe we can do the show from Steve Dahl's studio. Wouldn't that be cool? He'd never let us in. That monkey smell that's stuck in there after us. We're there. You know, if I had one wish, and always be ready for this. Some people are granted wishes, so be ready for the wish. Be ready for the one wish. I would wish that Jews had more power in Hollywood. more power than Marlon Brando thought they had. I would like to see, you know, for now, for them to have a lot more power. And I would like Mel Gibson to have, you know, what did the person say? The drunk mouth speaks the sober mind.
Yeah.
I would like to have him tattoo that all over his body and have all of Hollywood. It's not true that it's all run by Jews. I would like it to be true. Let's take another phone call. Kobe. Let's talk to Kobe. What's up, Kobe?
Hey, what's up, Ben?
How you doing?
Long time listener. Well, listen, whenever I can. I don't know. I guess it's applicable in this sense. There's a Jewish Jewish phrase, which is basically the wine comes in, the truth comes out.
Wow. Wow. And you know it in Hebrew?
Nichnas yayin yatza sod.
Slow down a little bit. One more time.
Nichnas yayin, wine comes in, yatza sod, comes out the secrets.
There you go. There you go. Boy, if I was in charge of community service, Mel Gibson would be, you know, at the wailing wall, saying that over and over again. And davening. Isn't that the word?
And you would probably butcher it anyway.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm going to take one more call on this from John. Hey, John.
Hey, how are you, Penn?
Never been better, boss. How are you doing, man?
The only thing I wanted to add to that was it's very similar to the last comment in Latin. I believe there's a term that says in vino veritas.
Oh, yes, yes. Thing. Yes, in vino veritas. That's a really good one. Teller must know them. If Teller were listening, which he's not, he's traveling today, Teller would have been in vino veritas. He would have been calling up with that one right away. Yeah, I think there's a lot of proverbs, and I think they may be kind of sort of true. But thanks so much. And if someone wants to see the producer at AOL ruining my All In, which would have brought me to Chip Leader, so I'd have more to lose. You can go. We have a tiny URL. My wife sent a tiny URL. They don't have the real place for it, but it's a tiny URL. You can all use that, right? TINYURL.com. TinyURL.com. Then you put a slash, and it's PKGA6. PKGA6. And that'll bring you to full video mode of the producer of AOL screwing up my chance to win the World Series of Poker celebrity.
You know what? They cut out the part where he says, oh, that's a perfect hand for this. Pair of queens, boy, you're going to kick their butts.
Yeah, they did. They did cut that out. They did cut that out because
why.
You know why they cut that out? It didn't happen. I kind of made it up to make the story
better. Oh, really?
No. I mean, what I tried to say was that was his tone. That was his style.
Really?
Do you want to do your little roving reporter?
Roving reporter thing now?
We're going to take a phone call first. Phone call. We'll do it after the break. People are looking forward to this. People are going, you mean Goudeau actually did some work outside of the hour?
Hard hitting.
I saw your car driving out. Otherwise, I would have thought you did the whole thing in your bathroom or something. But I actually saw you driving out. But let's talk to David. Nope. What's up, David?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Monkey Tuesday. What else needs to be going on?
Yeah, I got a monkey story for you from the greatest place on earth, Six Flags in Jersey.
Oh, yeah, this should really be called, you know, Six Flags Tuesday, but go ahead.
All right, so it's off-season. It's in the middle of winter. They're doing a light show, and this guy keeps disappearing. We're just like, where'd he go? And eventually, like, we just started following him. He'd go to the monkey cage and, like, just... If it try to get a monkey to get close enough to him so he could snag it, and then he's trying to steal a monkey.
Did he make it?
No.
He's the luckiest guy in the world.
You think grabbing a pigeon is bad? If you have a hold of a monkey that you don't want, that doesn't want you to be holding him, you got trouble. You got really trouble.
Man, with a capital T.
Thanks a lot, David. Thank you so much. Let's talk to Brian.
Sure.
How you doing, Brian?
Hey, how's it going?
Very well, thanks. What's up?
Hey, that guy that almost stole a monkey, he's lucky he didn't lose a finger or something.
Yeah, I know. They do. They bite off fingers. We had a lot of stories to that effect.
Yep. I recently graduated from Stockton College.
Uh-huh.
My last semester, you know, you're kind of trying to throw together all the crap classes that you don't need.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a psychology course, and mm-hmm. the teacher, in his introduction to us, said, by the way, when I grew up, I had a gibbon.
Wow! Wow!
Yeah, this was terrifying to me, because gibbons, in my opinion, are the scariest ape available.
Oh, man.
Yeah, sure.
But one of the stories he told us was every night they'd give it a small bowl of whatever they were eating for dinner, in addition to, you know, the fruit and whatever they gave it.
Yeah.
And he said the monkey would push it to the very side of its little cage and kind of sit there and wait for the dog to come by.
Uh-huh.
And when the dog would try to get at the food, he'd just stick his head into the bowl, The monkey would grab the back of his head, slam it into the cage several times, and then laugh. And laugh hysterically, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, as a person, which I am, who likes monkeys very much and is not thrilled with dogs, that probably is the greatest story ever told. That is wonderful. Yeah. Because, okay, thanks. Thanks. That's good. You know, we don't have shows at the Rio this week.
Right.
So last night, I got to take Moxie to the park, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was trying so hard to be a good dad because she's over there and she's playing. Well, first of all, she stole a ball from the other kids, which I was very proud of her for. And she was running with it because she's only, 14 months old. So it wasn't much of an escape, but she did a good job. And then she went over to a dog. There was like this like little white husky or something. And she went over and got right in its face, and she was so happy. And the dog was going to lick her face, and I was almost vomiting. That's what I hate most. But I tried to be as open and as caring as I could and know that my daughter was okay. And I did say, my daughter might punch your dog. He won't bite her, will he? And they kind of pulled him back a little bit. I tried to put it that way. But I was very cool. I didn't go like, dog, run! Everybody run! There's a dog in the park! Save yourselves! Grab your children! Dog! Dog! I didn't do that, which is what I wanted to do. That's what I wanted to do in my heart.
You should go with
the ball. If I had been drunk, I would have been yelling, you dog! You dog! I hate dogs! The dogs control Hollywood! It's a dog conspiracy!
The dog-eat-dog world.
Yeah.
You could go to the park.
And I would have said, I love you, dog. Let's get married. I would have done all of that, and I'd been drunk.
I think that dog's gay.
But sober, as I am and was, I said to Moxie, okay, just be a little careful. And I tried not to show that kind of terror because I just could picture her, going, my first memory in life was my dad rolling around and killing a pet dog with his bare hands while I toddled. I just didn't want
I'm not sure if this was real or if it was a dream, but my dad was swinging this white dog covered in blood.
And speaking of toddled, welcome Chicago. Let's go. Let's talk to Alex.
All right, we can talk to Alex.
Hey, this I have a story about monkeys where this takes place in New Jersey. The Six Flags over there.
Of course it does.
So this is one of the early memories you were just mentioning. Family goes out. It was a station wagon, wood panel, all that kind of stuff. I'm not sure if this really happened or if I made it up. We're going around and, we're getting like a camel spit all over the noses and feeding the animals when we shouldn't.
Uh-huh.
And we're looking back, we pass the monkeys already, and the monkeys are climbing on top of this car behind us. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those cars that has like a faux convertible. It's still got the metal, but it's got that light leather on top of it.
Oh, sure, sure.
And so the monkeys are jumping around, the families are having a good time. And we can see this, but the family in the car can't. But the monkeys start taking apart the leather. And they're just ripping off the roof, and they're throwing this out. And the family's having a good time. And then the horror that shows on the father's face when he finally realizes what's happening, it was great. And the best part was, since we're all like caravanning, he can't go anywhere. So these monkeys ripping apart the car. And I really don't remember what happened at the end of it, but just seeing that, we never went to Six Flags again.
But I want to say, in on the side of monkeys, on the side of Six Flags, there are big signs that say there's the vinyl driver.
Yeah,
not come through. Do not come through with the vinyl top. So if you're going through with a vinyl top, you should be expecting that kind of monkey behavior. We've seen that before. So I don't know why all of a sudden I thought of sticking up for Six Flags. Are they still in business with the animal park and stuff? Probably.
I have not gone since.
Well, we're looking,
I don't think I want to.
We're looking for a sponsor. So maybe Six Flags will step in and sponsor our show. Thank you so much, Alex. We're going to take a little break right now. Then we're going to be back, of course, with much more Monkey Tuesday. 866-570-PEN, 7366. Call with your monkey stories or your Mel Gibson stories. PennRadio@gmail.com. PennRadio.com. With Michael Goudeau, 866-570-PEN, 7366.
You're a mess, man.
PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. Welcome, Chicago. What used to be in this slot? Because, it's one thing when you're kind of ushered in. People kind of know where you are. But there was something else on this 1-2 slot in Chicago, and now we're replacing it. And people are going, they've gone monkey, I guess. Okay. Free FM is, okay, they're doing there was that one radio station that went directly from religious programming to porno programming, and I guess the station has gone all monkey. Oh. So here we go. Now it's time for the roving reporter. There was a press conference held by Condoleezza Rice about the Middle East. You were not there.
I was not.
There was
a
press conference, however, about a monkey playing poker.
Yes.
And Michael Goudeau was there. Tell us about it, Michael Goudeau.
Yes. Let's try this and see if it's working.
No, don't play it yet. He'll tell you when to play. He's in charge. We're introing him now. It's not Patrick's fault. It sounded like I was doing an intro to the tape, and he's so excited about this tape that he wanted to play it right away. It's also not a tape. I say tape because I'm 110 years old. It's a digital file. But go ahead. Tell us a little bit about the monkey.
Okay. Well, apparently PokerShare.com went out and found the world's best poker-playing chimp and tried to enter him into the World Series of Poker. This was the pre-attempt interview. And I want to say that the monkey can't play poker.
So there's... The punchline of this is it did work.
Yeah, the punchline of this is they did not let Mikey in, and I'm sorry for him. He seems like a nice chimp.
Well, here is Mikey Goudeau going to see Mikey the monkey. Now you can play it, Patrick. Thank you.
Okay, let's try this and see if it's working. Hello, test, 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 1, 2.
Really? You didn't tell me.
So, you know, the World Series in poker is like always at the Rio, and I'm supposed to do this press conference with a monkey. And so, you know, I'm at the Rio, and as hip on pop culture as I am, I ask them for the Real World Suite, and they go, "That's the Palms, you idiot." So now it's 2 o'clock, and the press conference is starting, and I am running to my car from the Rio to try to drive over to the Palms.
I don't know the first thing about reporting.
Okay, so it's 170 degrees out, and I'm... There go my sunglasses. Hold on. Drop my sunglasses. I'm running through the parking lot, still at the Rio, trying to figure out where the heck did I leave my car.
Where the heck?
You're such a pro.
No, that's not it.
It's a yellow mini.
With a yellow mini, it would be easy to spot it. Maybe I was on level 3. No, I'm on level 3. Where's my car?
We want to talk to the monkey.
There it is. Got it. Okay.
It's a yellow
mini. Get me in the car. And go over to the Palms. Got to get my keys. Hold on.
It was a rough day.
I don't know the first thing about reporting.
I don't even know to look where the interview is.
I'm going to cut off this taxi and try to race over to the Palms. You know, I took journalism. Now I can't shift. I took journalism in junior high school, but I was the cartoonist, and I was actually thrown out of the class for what they called racist cartooning. So, you know, a lot of these reporter basics, like where I'm supposed to go to get
the Mel Gibson of junior high.
I'm not really that clear on. I'm going to keep trying.
Go, Goudeau.
I'd like to mention that monkeys in the wild. They don't keep that strict a time schedule. So even though I'm late, I'm hoping that the monkey will forgive me. You know, I'm walking through the Palms, and there's a cosmic corner, like, fortune teller, tarot reader, like, right across from the slot machines. And, you know, I don't want to say what more proof do you need than that, but what more proof do you need than that? Okay, so the monkey's got the coolest room at the Palms. I've made it. They're still going on. They haven't really, didn't look like they really started yet. And I don't actually see the monkey, but they're handing out shirts. So I got a T-shirt and a hat and a pair of sunglasses.
Oh, come on.
All the
T-shirt.
So life couldn't be better than that.
Oh, the hat. You brought the hat. Yeah, it's a good hat.
The suggestion is that Mikey is a male chimp. They're going to be bringing him in any second now. He's 3 or 4 years old, which is, you know, that's still fairly calm in monkey years, but there's not really a clear escape. It's kind of crowded with people. I'm in the second row, and I'm actually a little bit nervous because if the chimp goes wild, it's going to be hard to get away.
There were too many people. You couldn't run.
It was a well-attended press conference. Oh, here comes the monkey.
The excitement is palpable. Yeah, if only Paul Provenza were here, the monkey is wearing a shirt.
Really? It was a dressed monkey?
Yeah, it was dressed close. Up.
Good, good. Just stop for a second. Stop for a second here. I don't want too many in-jokes here. Paul Provenza, the director of the Aristocrats, there's nothing he likes more in the world than animals and people close. So what kind of shirt was the monkey wearing?
He was wearing, the PokerShare.com t-shirt and a pair of shorts.
Oh, cool.
He looked pretty good.
He looked good-looking monkey?
He was a good-looking monkey.
Attractive monkey?
He was very attractive.
Did he have diapers on?
He had shorts over the diapers, so you couldn't really quite tell.
Okay. I wasn't asking about the monkey's ass. I was just, you know, saying, want to paint the picture. That's what you do on radio. You paint a picture with words.
He was wearing blue shorts.
No hat on the monkey?
No hat.
Okay, so you saw the ears really clearly.
Yeah.
And you're in the second row. He could rip you apart.
Yeah, and there was no way out. There was a lot of chairs behind
me. Did he make eye contact with you? Did he mark
No, I knew better than that. I kept my eyes averted.
Okay.
Looks like a Mel Gibson comic.
Can you take it back like 5 seconds and then go or not? You have to just go. It's like a TiVo. Go ahead. Just go ahead.
He says, I want to be the
chimp has gone wild.
Well, oh, stop for a second. Stop for a second.
He's eating chips. He's taking the poker chips and stuffing them in his mouth, and he's flipping around on the chair and spinning it.
Now, what is there's a woman there who's his...
That's his trainer, yes.
His trainer. What does she look like? Paint the picture in words.
A 45-year-old woman who has never met a man she could go out with, and so she has a chimp. you know, I don't know how else to describe her.
What does she look like, Jane Hathaway?
A little Jane Hathaway. Yeah. Very, very accurate.
I keep this. I'm psychic.
You are.
Jane Hathaway is the what's she on? The Beverly Hillbillies. She's the banker.
Yeah.
Continue the recording.
Why don't you just blow everyone a kiss if you have something to say? Go ahead, blow everybody a kiss.
I think she's saying a kiss.
Go ahead, blow it, Dad.
We all got a monkey kiss blown to us.
Show everyone your tongue. But that's your lips. Show everyone your tongue.
Why do you want to see
you
his tongue?
Okay,
I think
fine.
He knows two tricks.
Okay. Mikey, can you sit up, buddy?
Is he talking to you?
For a sec, I thought she was talking to me.
Yeah. I was kind of slouching at that point, so. Uh-oh.
Well, you know, it's the media. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Monkey's a funnier word. I'm just going to go in here on a limb.
Yes.
Have you talked to any of the other pros about playing against
Wait, hold, hold, on, hold on, hold on. You're really doing an interview.
I'm doing the interview.
You're doing a real interview.
I'm a hard-hitting guy. I'm shouting stuff out just like the press. At a president press conference,
so,
I'm shouting stuff.
Have you commanded the attention when you said monkey's a funnier word?
I did.
Did the other press kind of rumble and go, oh, that's it? Like Wolf Blitzer's
talking?
Well,
they were all kind of whispering, man. I thought, you know, this is a wussy sort of press conference. Nobody's yelling.
So you were like Lois Lane.
I was.
I guess that's not the best example to use. Wolf Blitzer's a better one.
Thank you.
Okay, let's get back to our own Anderson Cooper, Michael Goudeau, on the front lines. Because Anderson Cooper over there in the Middle East, he could be killed, but he couldn't have dung flung. Adam. Maybe he could. Go ahead.
So he's actually playing in the main event. Will you be playing up against him, Marcel?
Well, he's on my table.
If he's at your table, that's right. It's luck of the draw, isn't it?
Some of those days are 18 hours over there. Can he play 18 hours?
Well, he can play just as much as anyone else, I think.
All right.
No, there's an arm wrestling world championship as well. I suspect he might win that one.
Oh, he might win
that one.
He's already stronger
Ritter
than four men.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
That's Marcel Lusk. Also.
What did he say?
I don't know what Marcel said, but he's a professional poker player.
So that was it. That was Michael.
That was the big event, yeah.
The big event.
There's an ending.
Let's go with the ending.
Okay, so I'm in the elevator on the way down from the monkey, and the monkey can't play poker. I'm just telling you, I'm going to make a prediction now. The monkey can't play poker. He's kind of eating the chips. He's kind of pushing things down, but he's doing anything but playing poker. But the positive thing is I got a deck of cards, a cowboy hat, a bag of peanuts, and a monkeyshare.net t-shirt. So all in all, not a total loss.
That was my big day out. My first foray into reporting.
Now, we want to get a lot of calls, and we want to get a lot of Gmails asking, do we like to send Michael Goudeau on an assignment?
Oh, no, wait a second.
Did you like that hunk? Let us know. 866-570-PEN, 7366-PENRADIO@gmail.com. We have a lot of events and press conferences that happen here in Vegas. When they invite the pressure, we send Michael Goudeau. And here's the follow-up. As you predicted, the headline is Michael
booted, yes.
Monkey booted from poker series. A chimp in no chair. WSOP says no Mikey. PokerShare.com found the best poker playing chimp in the world, a talented primate called Mikey, but the 2006 World Series of Poker organizers are standing firm and will not let him go ape in the Amazon room. Harris will not let Mikey sit down at the main event. I think that Harris made the right choice. He prefers jumping up and down and scratching himself. Anyway, it smacks of discrimination to us, but maybe PETA and ACLU will step in. This is just gets into jokes, but that's good. That's good. That's very, very good. I think they made the right choice. I really do. And, you know, that's what you, you know, the that company, whatever it was, never mind. There's a company called NakedPoker.com that put Ron Jeremy in the competition. And Ron Jeremy's a good friend of mine. I love him. Luckiest man in the world. The American dream come true. I looked over and he was putting chips in his mouth and scratching himself. So I think that's the thing there. Let's take Dan right there. What's up, Dan?
Hey, Pam. How are you doing?
Great. How are you?
I think you should send him out on more interviews.
What kind of interviews you want him to go on?
What about alligator wrestling?
If there is an alligator wrestling press conference, we will send Godot in. You okay with that?
I'm all right with that.
Anything else? What other choices you want, Dave? You're writing the show now. Let us know.
I don't know. Lesbian sex?
Lesbian sex. Okay. Okay.
Now he's talking.
What's in the news, Robin? Lesbian sex. You like women? Okay. Thanks so much, Dan. Thank you. So the fans have spoken. As you know, there's a basic formula for this. Every single call that gets through here represents 250,000 people. So 250,000 people in the United States of America have stated that Michael Godot should go out and cover alligator wrestling and lesbian sex.
I'm going to need a raise.
To cover lesbian sex?
That's right.
Okay. You're uncomfortable with that?
No. I just want more money. But I just want to dress nicer when I go.
Little lip gloss and so on. We got time for one more call. Let's take Paul. Let's get Paul in here real quick. He's been waiting for a while. What's up, Paul?
Oh, not bad. How are you guys doing?
Doing very well. Never better. Go ahead.
Have you ever heard of a place called Noel's Ark Gorilla Show?
No.
Wow.
Here's a little quote. If you hold one shoulder of the chimp to the floor, then you earn $5 per second.
Oh, yeah, I know about all these things. Where is it?
Apparently they retired now, but they sent all the chimps to retire at the Noel's Ark Chimp Farm. They've actually got a retirement community for these things.
What state?
It says Southeast U.S.
Okay, Southeast U.S. But just tell me, again, read the slogan. I cut you off. Forgive me. Go ahead.
Well, the basic rules were, you hold both shoulders to the floor, it's good for $20 per second. Bob Noel, the guy who ran the place, mm-hmm. his big quote was, it takes three men to get a hold of a chimp, and it takes eight men to let go of one.
Wow, there's a great drawing on the website here, too.
What's the website? Can you give it up?
It's fairplay.com. I know it's pretty long.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I got.
Fairplay.com. Yeah, sure.
That'll get you there.
It's gorgeous.
And, we'll do a whole show one of these days on chimp and orangutan wrestling because there's a lot of maybe we can get James Taylor, who's out of Baltimore, who's an expert on carny stuff, to call
maybe
up and talk
about it. Maybe get Godot to cover it.
Maybe you go Godot wrestling a chimp. That's money in the bank. Thank you so much for calling, Paul. Coming very near the end of this wonderful day. Of course, next week will once again be Monkey Tuesday. And tomorrow we have Lisa Lampanelli, one of the Aristocrats. The Aristocrats is playing on HBO. We got Aristocrats all week. Listen in.